Well, a healthy good morning to all of you. I'm glad you're here. We do want to remember those who are not with us this morning. They're not here, hopefully not because of health reasons. We don't know for sure, but we should notice who's not here and take time and give them a call, let them know we miss them, and also if there's any help they might need. And so that's something we should take to heart and do as brothers and sisters in Christ. So in January, actually, of this year, we began a series in Ecclesiastes. The name of that series was Don't Waste Your Life. Solomon's teaching us the things that we must know in this book that help us to live a life that pleases God, honors God, puts God first. And two most important points that we learn from teaching from Solomon in Ecclesiastes. Number one, that your life is a gift from God, your Creator. And because He is your Creator, you belong to Him. Number two, whether you live from your birth to be 10 years old or whether you live from birth to be 100 years old, in the end, your body's going to perish. You're going to die. And your spirit that's held within that body is going to return to the one who gave it, God, your Creator. That's a fact. We read that in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. And so what He does with that spirit, what He does with that spirit after the body dies has to do with your life. The way you live your life, the choices that you make. If you learn from Solomon and learn from the entirety of the Scriptures and you apply that wisdom to your life, God will see you. He'll see that you've rightfully enjoyed the precious life that He's given you. That you were grateful every day when you get up out of that bed. I have another day. Praise God. I'm so thankful. And He will shower you with goodness. And the more you put Him first, the more precious that goodness is. When you take pleasure in God, when you glorify God, and that is true in good times and bad times. Solomon makes that very clear. Chapter 11, verses 7 through 12, we'll examine. Chapter 11, verse 7 through chapter 12, verse 8, we're going to examine these things today. Three things. As we move forward in our lives to that ultimate time when our feet begin to enter into that grave, when we turn our lives toward the dust. And so we're going to look at these three things. Our lesson today is actually part one of two. And the title is Getting to the Point. So this is point one of getting to the point. Right? He's going to talk to us today about our need to rejoice. I mean, we need to be a people, as Paul said, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. And then in verse 10, he's going to talk to us about how we need to remove certain things from our life. And then in chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, he begins that chapter so that we can see the things that we need to remember. And so we want to begin today with our first point from chapter 11, verse 7. Truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold. Right? We know that people teach this book in error. They teach that Ecclesiastes is just a dull, terrible, vanity, meaningless the world that we live in is just terrible. Oh boy, woe is me. And that's because they focus on those words and not on the point. We've learned differently as we studied this book. Life without God is indeed all vanity. Think about that. For when we think about how when one lives temporarily for pursuits of this world, you know, we live for wealth, we live for pride, we live for recognition and power, we live, our life is just a fleeting waste. Earthly success, earthly pleasures, earthly endeavors, it's all vanity. Because those things are temporary. Solomon makes that so clear. Right? There's a time for, remember chapter 3? Time to live, a time to die, a plant, a time to sow, and a time to reap, and so on. It's temporary, this life. And when we look at life, life seems to be random. It seems to be very unfair. Solomon teaches us that our finite minds, we can't possibly understand God's plan in a way that God does. Right? I saw all the works of God that man cannot find out. The work that is done under the heavens. Remember that? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 17. We can't find it out. Right? And we labor under the sun and we strive to learn and make sense of everything. And we just can't figure it all out. The wise man attempts to know it, he said. And he won't be able to find out. Right? Death's gonna come to all. And that's regardless of my health. We know people that were perfect health. They ran 10 miles a day and exercised 6 days a week in the gym and suddenly died. That's the guy that you thought, boy, he's going to live forever. Right? When I was in the martial arts, I had a teacher. He's from China. And I always envisioned him, you know, I'm 20-some years old, and I envisioned him as being this old guy with a beard down to the floor, sitting in a chair teaching me, and he died at 40. He was like the picture of health. Solomon wants us to understand that amidst all of the seasons and the cycles and the circles of life, amidst all the frustrations, amidst all the emptiness, we can rejoice. Remember James, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or various temptations, various trials. You know, how do you do that? When the world seems to be coming down upon you and there's so much weight on your shoulders, so much worry, so much concern about the things that are going on, how do you count it all joy? How do you find meaning? How do you find get to the point where you can rejoice because of God? Because you turn your eyes and you focus on the things that are important, the things that are above. You look up. Truly, the light is sweet, he said. It's pleasant to the eyes. I.e., it's good to see the sunrise. It's good to be alive. So from the very moment that you get out of bed, the moment your eyes open up, the moment you see that there's a new day, realize that's a gift from God. Realize that God, everything that's happening, He wants it to work for good to those who love Him. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. He wants you to know that He's there. He wants you to realize that there is a plan and that in the midst of all the darkness and all the trials and all the struggles and all the confusion, He's there. And Solomon says, appreciate every day. It's good. It's sweet. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. You think about what was written there, though the Lord's mercies, through the Lord's mercies were not consumed. Right? they are new every morning, every day. David said, my voice shall hear. He's listening. He's praying to God. My voice you will hear in the morning. Lord, in the morning, he says, I will direct it to you. To think of that, he's getting up in the morning, his eyes open up, he sees the day, it belongs to God, and he's directing his thoughts and his prayers to God. I will look up, he says. You know, at the dedication of his house, sing praises to the Lord, right? Give thanks and remembrance of his holy name. This is the kind of way to wake up in the morning. We think about his anger is but a moment, David said. His favor is for a life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. See, there's a good message there. Even Moses, you know, oh, satisfy us earthly with your mercy. Early, rather. Satisfy us early with your mercy. That this is a day that the Lord has made. We all have heard that. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. So it's good. This day is good. Enjoy it. God made it for you. And when you have troubles, lay them on his shoulders. Don't carry that burden, which is probably the most powerful part of the message. Verse 8, Solomon says, but if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Right? From your very first breath, in one sense of the term, you're on the clock. And that clock is ticking down. Good days come, bad days come, there's going to be many bad days in your life and your future, and nothing's better than to rejoice, Solomon says, and to do good in life. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and you can look at that, verse 12 and 13. Nothing better. Enjoy every day. The light is sweet. And you don't know when the darkness is coming. It always comes. There's always trials. There's always hard times, whether that be financial or physical, health, emotional. It's always going to be there. That's the way this world is. But Solomon wants us to go through life with our eyes wide open. Rejoice that you see the sun today. You know, we had a pretty serious storm here the other day. Tore up both my cars, broke windshields, tore up the roof on the building and all. But the storm passed. God's still there. Right? Life is like ice cream. When you get it, it's great. But the longer you hold it, the more it starts to drip all over your hand. Life's like that. It starts off really great. And then it starts dripping all over you. Gets messy. And that's to be expected. God will bring into judgment everything. Chapter 11, verse 9. And so this is important for parents, grandparents. We need to make sure that we teach our children that they need to have joy in this life and experience life in a way that pleases God. Teach them that God's love, his laws, all those things are meant to keep us safe from the pains and the sorrows and the troubles of life. They keep us safe in the spirit so we can endure, as James says, count it all joy. And listen, David, he had his fair share of sorrows, didn't he? You know, he was hated by the king, chased all over the countryside. Had to deal with the death of his first son because of his own sin. That was David. And we realize what David did say. You will show me the path of life in your presence. In the fullness of joy, he said. Fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is coming from a man who certainly did have a lot of trials and temptations and troubles. Think back to your own life. How many times in your own life did you do something in your life and now you can think back and boy, am I glad I did that when I was young. Because it's not going to be possible for me to do that now. Teach your children. You're going to get older. Things are going to change. You're going to have to deal with the hard things in life. And if you deal with those apart from God, it's going to be a waste. And your life will be miserable. But if you deal it with God in your life, then you'll wake up each day. That light is sweet. Simple pleasures. You'll face each day knowing that God is in charge, that He is ahead of all your challenges, that no matter what happens, there's more to life than this moment. Next verse, verse 10, therefore remove sorrows from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remove it. That's the next point Solomon makes. Just remove the sorrows. The Hebrew word for sorrow there is very diverse, right? It's a very multiply semantic, has a great range. When you look at this word, all these different translations, number NIV, anxiety, ESV, vexation, NASB, grief and anger, CEV, worry and pain, in the NET Bible, emotional stress. The point is that in life you are going to grapple with life's pains in various degrees. But we remember, focus again on the things of Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. That will always make you stronger when you work through the trials of life. And Solomon, he did spend much time teaching how empty and exhausting life can be, but because life is really short, He's telling us that we can push through these times with God before us. Sorrows and anxieties that, that we can't waste our precious life, the precious time that we have, focusing on the pain, focusing on the anxiety, focusing on the troubles around us, worrying about the heartaches. When it all boils down to it, what will happen will happen. They say, don't worry about that yet. It hasn't happened. But people do worry. They worry about things that never even come to pass. What will happen, and you can't change that. You can't change a single thing that did happen. You can't go back and undo what happened. So remove those things from your life. Hand them over to the shoulders of God who's able to bear them. Because He loves you and He wants you to let Him carry the load. I can't pay my house payment this month. I always do, but I'm just behind. Let it go. He's not going to pay your house payment for you, but He's going to give you peace through that time until you do get that caught up. Frustration, anxiety, stress. Don't waste your valuable life, your precious life, focusing on something that happened yesterday. Right? Isaiah chapter 43, the Lord tells us not, He's telling Israel, don't worry, it's going to work out. The Apostle Paul, what did he say? Forgetting those things which are behind, rejoicing, going forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the higher goal, the prize of the upward call of Christ of God in Christ. That's what Paul's attitude was. Paul also, he told the church in 2 Corinthians, he tells them if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're Christians. We're not living in the past. We're living for the future. Solomon says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Not back. Let your eyelids look right before you. Just moving forward. Higher calling. Solomon is in no way, by the way, downplaying troubles that we have in life. He's not saying something wrong with you if you feel bad or sorrowful, anxiety. That's not what he's saying. We can feel sorrow. We can feel grief. We can feel be frustrated with the world. We can have anger even. But don't allow yourself to be swallowed up by it. In other words, don't let it be the thing controlling you. The reins that are pulling you should be the reins from God. So you're not doing yourself any good. Okay, chapter 12, the third point. We need to remember. He says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days came and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure. In other words, seek God early in life. Solomon's addressing young people in this sense. But that a principle, it applies to all of us. While we're alive, while we have this great gift, while we see the sweetness of the light, seek God early. Why is it important to seek God? And why is it so important that you apply that to your own life? It's critical. But why? You know, the answer's provided for us in the text. As you get older, things get harder. You face more and more challenges, more uncertainties, more unpleasant days. And as a result, you might not be able to apply life to yourself the way God intended it. If you're here today, let's say you're under the age of 18. Do you worry about the future? You think this little guy here worries about the future? The children in the back? You worry about tomorrow? Do you really? Or are you like me when I was young, never even gave it a thought? Just live day by day, do the things I do, enjoy myself, let other people deal with that adult stuff. And if you're with us today and you are older, look back at your own life. Remember the playful years, fun-filled years. Remember at that time when you didn't have a care in the world. You didn't worry about where are my clothes coming from? Am I going to be able to eat a meal tonight? You had bills. How am I going to pay my bills? You didn't worry about those things. You had no concern whatsoever for the future. And yet some carefree people turn into that grumpy old person who's yelling at the playful kids, the fun-filled kids. Be quiet! You guys make too much noise. Get off my lawn. Don't you have somewhere to be? Why are you bothering me? Don't you have chores or something in your life? Solomon's saying life happens to all of us. The days of adversity, the days of trials, the days of trouble, they come to us when we get older, and then we have a life that's mixed with joy, heartaches, and pleasure. So look at verses 2-8. There's metaphors here, a lot of metaphors, as we look at this. The first metaphor begins in verse 2. And it's telling us that the time is coming when the storm clouds, they're approaching. Old age is building up. And in the distance is the dust of the earth. That's how it works for all people. The second metaphor in verse 3, you know, seek the Lord before weakness comes, before you become feeble, before you can't stand, before your hands shake so much and tremble so much, before your back begins to hurt so much and you're hunched over, before your teeth wear out. Right? We know faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So read that word while you still have eyes to see. Read the word while you can hold the Bible still and it's not shaking all over the place. Read the word. Hear what he has to say. What he sent us from heaven. That word, this word, it didn't come up from man finding God. It came from God to man. And so you need to look at that. Seek God. That's the metaphor. And verse 4 is the third metaphor. To seek God before. Third metaphor. Seek God before. Right? In other words, the same kind of thing. You seek him while you're able, while you still have strength. Seek God. Get the points that he's trying to teach. Get it before your ears give out and you can't hear preaching or teaching. Give it before you have trouble getting up in the morning. Right? There was a time when you're young that you could sleep in till noon. It was always mom or dad yelling, get out of that bed. I'm not going to tell you again. Now as we get older, I can tell you that sleep doesn't come like that anymore. Sometimes sleep is a chore. Restful sleep, I should say. You know, when I was young, I heard every syllable, every sound. And now all I hear is, what'd you say? What? Say that again? Can you speak a little louder, please? It's not me, it's you. You guys aren't talking loud, that's the problem. Number 4. We think about this. Fear. In the bad sense, keeps you from doing what you should be doing. I'm afraid to give my life to God because it might upset my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, my aunts, my uncles, my friends at school. There's a danger in that. You know, and when you're young, you don't have fear. When I was young, I lived in California, and my brothers and I, we would go up on the roof of the house and jump off the peak holding a bed sheet because we wanted to find out if it would make us float like a parachute. Guess what? It doesn't. Didn't even fear that. He says the autumn tree blossoms. It's a metaphor for when your hair turns gray before you lose the energy or in some cases lose your hair. Like a grasshopper dragging itself along. And the point is that God, we seek God before we lose all those things. It's like when you get sick and you lose your appetite and you just get worse and worse. You lose your desire for food and it gets worse and worse. You don't have the desire. That's spiritually true. The fifth metaphor that you see there in verse 6, simply put, remember God before you have one foot in the grave, right? The silver cord, the golden bowl, the pitcher shattered, the wheel broken, all those things that you read in there, they all represent coming to age, getting old. And we need to remember God. We need to honor him, to seek him, devote ourselves to him before it's too late. And speaking of remembering God, we need to understand what Solomon means by remember. Solomon is not saying, remember there's a God. I don't know him. I don't worship him. I don't even know if I like him, but there is a God, and I remember, God created the heavens and the earth. That's just that mental thing. That's not it. Mental awareness? No. Solomon says, remember means willfully devoting yourself to God in your life. So I remember God, have no other gods before me. I remember that, so I devote myself to that. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. I remember that, so I devote myself to that. That's how we remember God in this sense. He doesn't want us just to be aware that there is a God, but devote yourself to Him. Devote yourself to Him. There's going to be a time when if you don't do that, it'll be too late. I really believe that. I know that. Young people grow up being told there is no God, there is no God. They're being presented with the gospel of Christ, the way of salvation, and they refuse. After so many times, it just becomes so ingrained in them that they just will not even talk about it anymore. Don't let that happen. Remember God. Remember that He did create all things. Remember that He had power to save, power to raise the dead raise people from the dead to life. He had power to feed the hungry, power to help the poor, power to cause the winds to stop and the storms of the sea to be calm. He had power to be the resurrection of life. So devote yourself to that when it says remember. So following these kinds of teachings requires us to know God, not just to know the word God. Right? So our life, it is very quick, very fleeting. And we need to be a people who understand that life itself, it can't move us towards our holy God, to His righteousness. Right? Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. So we're happy with what we have, and the great gain is that we know God's there. He says, you brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we will carry nothing out. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So it's the right spirit that will enable us to remove vexation, remove frustration, remove sorrows, to remove stress from our lives, anxiety. The right spirit is the thing that helps us to move forward in our lives. So devote yourself to God before you make a bunch of bad decisions. Devote yourself to God while you still have time to enjoy the benefits from God. Devote yourself to God while you can enjoy life that God has given you. And devote yourself to God by responding to His loving, gracious invitation, His call to be in Christ. God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to think about the fleeting nature of life. Life is but a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. And He wants us to recognize what's coming, the dust of the earth and the spirit that goes to heaven, to God rather. So look at it, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. There's a man named Paul Harvey. He's a famous radio announcer. He had a segment called The Rest of the Story. Most of you know that. I met Mr. Harvey at the Family Business record store in 1969. He did a spot from our store, a live spot, told all a bunch of stories. He would leave the end of the story out, take a break, and then he'd come back and tell the rest of the story. Your life is full of ups and downs. rights, wrongs, goods, bad, great joy. And there's going to come a time when your body returns to the dust of the earth and you're going to meet your Creator face to face. Solomon says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. But we need to know something. I want you to, if you heard anything today, I want you to hear this. Your life is only vain if it's not with God. If you live by yourself, if you refuse the invitation of Jesus Christ to be saved, your life will be in vain. Because it's true. We need to remember. We need to devote ourselves to God before it's too late, before the body returns to the dust, and you cannot commit your life to God. And not understand how much He loves you. We need to do that before we see that grave before us. So, will your life this very day show that you remembered God, that you were devoted to God? Think about that. What have you done with your life up to this point? What do we need to start doing in our life from this point? Because the day is going to come when you stand before the Lord and He will tell you the rest of the story. What will the story be? Jesus talks about judgment. You can see that in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus is going to, He describes the people being gathered up, the whole world, the living, the dead, everybody's all gathered up together. And He describes what's referred to as the great judgment scene. And when you look at this, there's only two stories. Those who were not faithful, those who did not devote themselves to God, those who didn't take seriously the fact that they're lost in their sins, and Jesus said that they will go away into everlasting punishment. That's the rest of their story. Or, if you did devote yourself to God, if you did yield to His will, not your own will, then you hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what we want to hear. So the question is, do we waste our life that God has given us? Or do we live a life for God, devote ourselves to Him, and hear those great, wonderful words? We extend an invitation to everyone here today. We know what Jesus tells us, our Lord, our Master, our Teacher, our King, our Savior. We know what He said. Do you? Jesus never said, ask me into your heart and you're saved. He never said that. What did He say? John chapter 6 verse 45, and they must all be taught of God. And he who hears and learns of me. He says, those are the people that will be drawn to me. So hearing the word of God is the beginning. That's what Jesus said. What have you been taught? Were you taught that? in John chapter 8 and verse 24, he says, unless you believe, you will perish. You believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe this? Jesus said that. You must believe. In Luke 13:3, Jesus said part of being saved is repenting of your sins. I am a sinner. I know I've done wrong in my life. There's no question of that. I'd be a fool to say it's not true. Jesus says unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So repentance is required according to our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our King of Kings. Jesus didn't stop there though. Did you know that? He didn't stop there. He said in Matthew chapter 10 verse 31, 32, he says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. And if you don't confess me before men, neither will I confess you before my Father. Jesus said that very thing. So confessing Him before an audience like this today is a requirement according to our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, our Master, our Teacher, our Savior. Did you know that? And Jesus didn't stop there. In Mark 16, verse 16, He said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He said that. I didn't. He did. I'm just quoting. And he who does not believe shall be condemned. Did you know that? Have you done that? The invitation we extend today is very simple. You believe that Jesus is the Christ? Are you willing to repent of your sin? And if you are, then we ask you to come forward this day and make that faithful confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we as a church will baptize you in the water, immersing you for the forgiveness of your sin, which is also the truth. And God, the Lord, will add you to His body, which is the church. Have you heard that before? And if not, what will you do today? The choice is yours. The invitation extends. If you have a need this day to repent or to be baptized, we're here to help. Whatever you need, please come forward as we stand and as we sing song 816. There's a stranger.